Ed, it's just so good to be with you all this morning. And there's so much happening this morning, from what I can see, which is really good. But first of all, a very warm welcome to you all, whether you are regulars here, if you're new here or haven't been here for long, very warm welcome. Delighted to see you all. There's a lot happening this morning, and I'm really looking for some help for one item early on in the service, especially for people who like chocolate. Hands up, those who like chocolate. Half of you aren't telling me the truth, are you? A number of things to share with you by way of notices. And the first and most important notice I've got here, just to underline it, is that it does say, welcome. I've only said that once, but welcome. And the reason it's a great welcome is because we're just so glad you're here, wherever you're from, whatever's going on in your lives for the rest of the week, here and now, you're very welcome. We're so glad you're with us. There was due to be a tea this afternoon. I'm sorry to say, from my notes, that has had to be cancelled. So if you were hoping for tea, I can't even see what time it was. 3 o'clock. It has been cancelled, so forgive us for that. Next Saturday morning is a men's breakfast at 8:30. That's in... I can't quite remember. Where is it? looking forward to that. And it's always a great breakfast, really good value for money, and a great chance to just have a good chat together. So everybody is welcome, by which I have to tell you, all men are welcome. Coming up next Sunday evening from 5 o'clock, there is something which is just so tasty. There is what's known as the strawberry social. Who likes strawberries? I definitely like strawberries. So that's from 5 o'clock next Sunday. Do come along and enjoy the strawberries and company and a chance to chat, and stay for the service afterwards if you can. It's a great opportunity. I've got a short video to show you, which is about what's happening in about 3 weeks' time. This is a really important video, very simple, great message it brings. Here it is.
Hi everyone, I'm up here at All Saints to let you know about our big summer Cayley. It's happening here at All Saints on Friday, the 21st of July at 7 p.m. The event is completely free, and we have a great band coming along and a caller to lead the dancing, so everyone can join in. If you'd like to come along, sign up at the back of church or on the mailing. So whether you're 9 or 99, bring a bottle and some snacks and grab your dancing shoes and come along for an evening of fun, fellowship and dancing.
Just great. Thank you for the video. That occasion, 7 o'clock Friday 21st at All Saints, is for the whole church family, whether you're at All Saints or here, or anywhere else for that matter. This is a really wonderful opportunity on the occasion of our dear vicar Dave Bruce and Alice and the children returning from their sabbatical, well, at least Dave's returning from his sabbatical, and it'd be really good if you can make it. It'll be a fantastic evening. I have some banns of marriage to be read. I published the banns of marriage between Thomas George Dryden Wright of St. Andrews and St. Patrick's, Elverdon, and Catherine Elizabeth Baxter of St. Andrew's Church, that's this parish. This is for the third time of asking. If any of you know any reason why they may not marry, you are to declare it. I'm looking round. Very good. And just as we remember them in their marriage preparation, here's just a prayer for them. Heavenly Father, we just hold before you this couple, Thomas and Catherine, as they prepare for their wedding day. And we ask that by your Spirit you will touch their lives deeply. You will prepare them for their wedding day. But more importantly, prepare them for the rest of their lives together as husband and wife. We thank you for them and pray that you pour out your love and your grace upon them to sustain them now and for always. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful gathering of so many of us this morning of all ages. It is great to just to see so many of you. And I know that the younger members of you will be going out for your groups in a little while, but I would just like to hope that whatever your age you are, especially if you're under 18, you'll come and join us up at the front for the second song, which is an action song, and I will endeavour to get some of the actions right. If you can get them all right, that will be just brilliant. First of all, then, just a few moments of stillness and a word of prayer. It's a lovely word from Psalm 138. Now, the Lord is on high. He looks upon the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you, Lord, preserve my life. We have a faith in a God who looks after us. And I pray that whatever age you are, you too will know that with me. That my God preserves my life. Lord, come upon us this morning as we come to worship you, wherever we're from, whatever we're feeling, and may we hear, know you present with us, lifting our hearts to you, guarding us, keeping us, and inspiring us in our walk with you, as we spend this time together with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. To turn to opening worship, and for the second song, young people, come and join me, show me the actions as you do it. It'd be great to have you at the front and just having a really good time as we worship together. To our opening worship, please stand.
So the first song we're going to sing is a golden oldie called Jesus Put This Song Into Our Hearts, and we've got to have instruments for that, so the instruments are down at the front. And it talks about living in harmony, and Jesus taught us how to live, how to be a family. And later on in the service, we're going to be thinking about Christ-centered relationships, how we all get on together in Christ's family. So that's why I chose this song to do. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Jesus taught us how to be a family. So, would you all like to stand? This is a very energetic song.
Jesus, put this song into our hearts. Jesus.
done. Good playing. Right, now we're going to sing Shine. And this is where we need the action. Because Jan doesn't want to do them all on her own. Or Helen. And Mark's just learning them. So, and I can't do them because I'm playing the piano. So. So come on, guys and girls. Out you come. Lovely. Thank you. Brilliant. Fantastic. Right.
Do please sit down. Now, I'm hoping that there are a good half dozen people who are quickly getting hold of some bowls of some goodies to bring them round you. So when you get yours, hold on to it. You may want to put it in front of you if you can, because it might melt, and I don't want you to eat them yet. But they are so good. Well, at least I think that they're very good. Wonderful. So the whole point of this is to help us to think a bit about what's really important. I don't know about you, but to me, there's nothing more important than a chocolate. So while they're being served round, if you can all take one, that'd be... I think that they're not gluten-free. They are not. They may be nut-free, but they're not gluten-free. So if you have any certain dietary restrictions, and maybe you just want to look at it and not eat it, or give it to somebody next to you. So have you all got your chocolate yet? Just hands up. Have you got your chocolate yet? Three of you have. Four of you. All right. So do you know this? Do you know what these are? Who knows? Hands up if you know what they are. Who knows what they are? Ooh. What are they? They are not Maltesers. They're not. But they're a good guess because they look like it. Anybody else know what they are? Yes. Very good. So, these are Revels, chocolate Revels. And I don't know about you, but, well, they've been around for a long time, over 50 years. Did you know that? Over 50 years of Revels, and they're still available in the shops today and in St. Andrew's Church. That's very good, don't you think? So, hands up who likes a Revel. Definitely me. Fantastic. So they've got chocolate on the outside, but what's inside? I wonder if you know. Have you eaten yours yet? Oh, you have? That's too early. You had to wait. No, it's all right, fine. Okay, so hands up those of you who like the coffee ones. Definitely me. Hands up who likes the raisin ones. Yep. Ooh, more of you, very good. Hands up who likes the orange ones. Look at that. Maltesers, brilliant. Oh, most of you. Toffee. Yeah, very good indeed. And the other one. Thank you. I think the other one's great. Do you know what it is? I think it's more chocolate, isn't it? Very good. Excellent. So, hands up if you think that chocolate, a Revel, is not just tasty, but it overwhelms you with joy. So, my question for you is this. Do you have faith in your Revel? Hands up if you have faith in your Revel. All right, just a few of you. The thing is this. It's what's on the inside that matters. And I mean on your inside. I hope you enjoy your Revel. But the most important thing is it helps you to revel in real life. It helps you to revel in what's going on in you. Especially what God has put into you. What is in you by Jesus, love and Spirit. Do you know that? Not like that if you do. Go like that if you're not sure. Go like that if you know it's not. Okay. But I want to encourage you that though these are just sweets and we can enjoy them, it's what God does to us on the inside that matters. And you know the most thing about being on the inside is that God puts his love into our hearts. And that's the most important thing you can know, that God loves you deeply. And I hope that you will revel in that. Whatever's going on in your life, I hope you can revel in the love of Jesus. Here's a short prayer for you, and then young people and children going to their groups. But Lord Jesus, thank you for our being together. Thank you that when we can revel, not just in these sweets, but in who you are, know your love, that's the best thing we can know and live by. Help us to be able to revel in you. In Jesus' name, amen. to invite Denise to say some words because it feels this very special moment, and I think she has something very special to say.
Good morning, everyone. Just
come a bit closer.
My name is Denise. I'm only here for the third time. I've just had a little holiday. And the reason I had a holiday right now was because I had a cancer diagnosis and I thought I was going to be starting chemotherapy tomorrow. I found when I was on holiday, I could feel God working within me. It was almost as if, as the song said just now, He was filling me and I enjoyed everything. I felt everything was heightened. I went to the most fantastic church service in Bude, where many churches were coming together and the building was full to bursting. And it was a church that felt like this, full and vibrant with children and music. I've always been to church, but this is just wonderful. I love to see children in the church, and I know when they're here that something is very right. Anyway, I moved from Bude to Muddiford and beautiful weather, and then I found myself in Ealing, where I've lived all my life, and I also went back to my old church. And again, it was very different. It was a high Anglican church, but it was beautiful. And while I was away, there's somebody that comes to this church that I've only just met. And she's in a very difficult place at the moment. She's grieving. And I asked her if she would come and stay in my house and take care of our plants while we were away. And she did beautifully. And she's sort of become a friend. And I feel God is moving in me to perhaps be there for her. And she's been there for me because she prayed for me in her group. And she told me about that. So on Friday, I went to see my consultant with my consent form, and I had 12 pages of information about the cancer treatment I was about to have and all that it would do to me. And I felt incredibly worried because I feel well. And I didn't want to put all these strong drugs in my body. And when I got there, I waited for half an hour. And when I finally went in, I almost felt like the consultant was talking to about a different person. And he asked me 5 or 6 questions. And I said, no, I'm not losing weight. I wish. No, I do not have any lumps. No, I'm not exhausted. And then he said, then we don't need to give you the chemotherapy. We'll just watch and wait. And I really wanted to share that with you today because that's what's been going on in my life. And I know God has moved me to come to this church. I've been searching and I've been trying 1 or 2 other places, but suddenly I know this is the right place. And thank you for giving me a voice today.
Denise, lovely. And just, I'd love to just pray for you as we continue in worship. That's just a moment of prayer for Denise. Lord, thank you for bringing Denise here. Thank you for what she has shared. Before, thank you, Lord, for what you have been doing in her life, and pray that by your grace you will continue to sustain her, pour your love upon her, bring your healing to her, that she may know what an amazing God you are. And we thank you for her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Denise, thank you so much. It's lovely to hear that testimony of Denise's. And I just invite us to continue with our worship and just hold in our hearts what we've been hearing and do so with such thankfulness to God and what we've heard from Denise. Thank you.
Let's just sing the last little bit of that song again. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. That's what you've been saying to us, Denise. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. At the beginning of this year, my word was trust. And gosh, that's been a challenge. It really has. And I know that I need to build my life on Jesus' love for me. And it's not always easy. And I'm sure that there are people out there that would say the same thing. So let's just pray as we sing, that God would give us that gift of trust.
As we stay in your presence, believing because you believe in us, touch our hearts ever deeper, not just with your love, but by the power of your Spirit, especially where we are feeling weak or lost, struggling. But Lord, in you, we are safe, we are strong, we are yours. And Lord, through this time together, may we just know, not just your presence, but you are God who cares deeply for every one of us. And so may our hearts be willing and open to receive whatever you have for each of us for the rest of our worship this morning, indeed on into the coming week. What a God you are. What an amazing people we are because of you. So we say, Lord, what a God you are, and Lord, thank you for being here. Amen. Do please be seated, and we are now turning to a very important part of our service this morning. I'm handing over to Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Mark. Could Val and Anne come and join me, please? I don't know about you, but I am so grateful for everybody who takes part in the preparations for making our services so worshipful, and our ability to really worship together without having to worry about all the practical stuff. And there are so many people involved in making our services run smoothly. So one of the things we've realised as the church has grown and we've got more services that we are meeting together in is the need to recognise a new role for St Andrews anyway. And this is a role called Wardens in Charge. So we're really pleased that we're able to do that. And today we're going to be commissioning two of our wardens, new wardens in charge. So these are deputy church wardens who will be responsible for ensuring that the building is open in readiness to support the service leader in case of any practical issues, ensuring that money, communion ware and the registers are handled correctly and that the building is locked up after the service. Now those all sound like fairly sort of mundane practical things, but without that happening, a lot of what we do would be really difficult. So I'm really pleased today that for our 10:30 congregation, we have two people who have agreed to become wardens in charge. And so this is Anne Dawson and Val Fain, who you probably all know anyway, but I'm really pleased that they've agreed to take on this role. And they will wear a label, so you know which one of them is is on duty. So they're not all on duty. They're not both on duty all the time. So, but yeah. So Val and Anne, we thank you for being willing to take on the role of warden in charge. May Christ, who came among us, not to be served, but to serve, be your inspiration in all that you say and do. We commission you to this role today. And I'll just pray for you briefly. So Lord, we thank you for Val and Anne and their commitment to being here regularly to support our services of worship here. We pray particularly in their role that you would give them blessing and encouragement and foresight as well. And so we thank you, Lord, for them as they take on this important role. Amen.
That's great. Now, before we come to listen to God's word, we're going to turn to our prayers of intercession. And I'm sure I know who's coming up to pray. Thank you so much. Over to you.
At least I think it's me. This morning we're going to pray for our world, our country, our town and our church. I know that many of you will already have kind of specific things in your hearts and minds that you want to pray for. So in each section, I'm just going to pray for one thing, and then I'm going to ask you to call out things that you'd like to pray for, and then we'll have a short pause where we can pray for the things that that you want to as well. So when I ask you to, please shout them out nice and loud so everybody can hear. And if you'd like to pray out loud, you can do. If you want to pray silently, do that too. So let's pray for our world. Father God, there are so many things we could pray for, but our focus is still so often drawn to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Lord, we pray for an end to the conflict. As we see signs of instability within Russia, would you raise up your church in that nation to speak out against injustice? We pray for Vladimir Putin, that he would have a life-changing experience of your love. We pray for the Russian military, that they would refuse to continue fighting this unjust war. And we pray for the Russian people, that their eyes would be open to the lies they've been told for the last 16 months. Lord, bring peace to Ukraine, we pray. Now please call out loud some other global issues you'd like to pray for.
Justice and fairness in North Korea.
Okay, so let's just spend a moment praying for those or any other things you'd like to. Let's pray for our country. Lord God, as the cost of living in the UK continues to rise, we pray for all those who are finding it difficult to pay their bills. We ask you first to bring peace instead of worry, to bring hope instead of fear. We thank you for all those involved in charities who help those struggling financially, for Christians Against Poverty and for the Trussell Trust, among others. Would you provide the resources and the volunteers that they need to continue their vital work? And we pray for our government that they would act with compassion rather than self-preservation, with generosity rather than greed, and with kindness rather than judgment. So what are some things that you'd like to pray for our country?
Mm-hmm.
Leadership. Okay, so let's spend a moment praying for those things. Let's pray for our town. This week is the AGM for Churches Together in Malvern. Lord God, we thank you for Churches Together and ask that as representatives of so many churches in Malvern meet, that there would be an amazing sense of unity together through your Spirit. We pray for all the church congregations in Malvern and ask that, as we heard last week, we would all clothe ourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, and that your love would bring us together in unity as we seek to further your kingdom here in Malvern. So call out some things that you'd like to pray for our town. Okay, we'll spend a moment praying for those things. Let's now pray for this church. Father, we thank you for putting us all together here in St Andrews. As we near the end of our sermon series on Colossians, we ask that you root that teaching in our lives, that as a church we would all be living Christ-centered lives. We remember the message that Rich Johnson brought a couple of weeks ago and ask that you would give us that holy discontent for the way things are and that we would become people who are willing to embrace change and commit to sustained prayer for your kingdom to come. Lord, mould us and shape us into the people you call us to be, and use us as you move in power in our churches, our town, and the communities we find ourselves in every day. And now finally, let's join in the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 18, and this can be found on page 1184. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven.
Let's pray for you. Darrell, let's just pray for you. Just thank you for all you've got to share with us this morning. Lord, as we've now been reading your word and now listening to what you're going to say about your word through Darrell, come by your spirit upon him. And as you speak through him, speak to our hearts what we each need to hear from you. May you be in Darrell that the source of just inspiration and godly words that will speak to us of you and what you want for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, what did he do wrong, do they think? So this is the seventh in our series of living the Christ-centered life, walking through Colossians together. Can I just say at the outset, when you read something in the Bible, if it makes your heart feel squashed, subjugated, depressed, you're probably misunderstanding it, because that's not God's purpose in your life. Now, there's a lot of the scripture that's very hard for us to take in, but the purpose of God is to release us. So let's, God help us, please help us to see what you're saying here. So the section, and there's a starting picture there. This is the Whirlpool Galaxy. I showed this last time as well. So thank you to Derek up the back, who reformatted my slides for me. He tells me that apparently this was taken with the help of a chip that was manufactured here in Malvern. So there we go. So this is from the Hubble Space Telescope. There's a cross in the middle, you notice that? So the section that we're looking at is an integral part of Paul's teaching. I think it actually comes to a climax of his teaching, particularly when he's talking to slaves. He's explaining what a life seeking the things above and a mind set on the things above, what that sort of life looks like. So we heard last week from Helen and Ruth, who is around somewhere, or maybe they're probably both out the back, about a life where you're taking off and putting on, taking off the old self, putting on the new self. And this is a different kind of life, because there's some certainties in it. In the beginning, we're certain that we've died with Christ and raised with him. That's in the past. The future is certain. When Christ, who is our life, appears, we also will appear with him in glory. That's our future. Those two certain rocks are in our lives now. And in the middle, there is this thing where Paul says, now your life is hidden with Christ in God. And the question that comes to our mind is, well, now what? Here I live with my life hidden with Christ in God. How do I live? And so we went through the putting to death and the putting off and the putting on. This is in the beginning of chapter 3. If you weren't there for those messages, please go through and have a look at those scriptures. And we learn about bearing with one another and forgiving one another in the same passage. But then the question is, how does this translate into our relationships, and specifically into what I want to call authority relationships? So these are relationships where there's a clear understanding that one is in authority and the other is in submission. And there's not a lot of them in our lives, but there are a number. So Paul has just unpacked some amazing stuff in verse 11. So I'm going back a little bit. Paul talks about how we're renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. And in verse 11 he says, here, that is in Christ, there is not Greek and Jew, not circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarians, no Scythians, no slaves or free, but Christ is all and in all. Similar passage in Galatians 3:28. He adds to this list, in Christ there is neither male nor female. So what he's saying here is that your eternal value, your substance eternally, is not determined by your ethnicity. It isn't determined by your religious standing in the eyes of the law. Your value is not determined by your status, even if your status is, I'm a slave. Okay, so in the Roman Empire there was a number of different ways of being a slave, but what characterized all slaves was they have no choices at all. They don't work for themselves. You don't even choose when you get up in the morning or when you go to bed. So your status as a slave or free doesn't determine your eternal value. Even whether you're male or female doesn't determine your eternal value. Now this hopefully doesn't sound so radical to us now, but it would have to the readers then. If you think about it, the way that authority relationships have often worked out in history, they have become what I would call abuse subjugation relationships. Yeah, and in those relationships, the person who is in power, if we want to put it that way, in authority, uses that authority to extract from the person who is being subjugated something that they want, whatever the cost to that individual is. This is not what Paul is talking about here. And I just want to say it very clearly, because there's loads in this short passage that can be misinterpreted. Let me just say a couple of clear things. I don't believe Paul is insisting that people remain in abusive, dangerous relationships. Okay, I just want to say that really clearly. And if you are here today and you are in a relationship where you feel you are in danger, I beseech you today, please seek out some help. I've been looking to see if there's a few people around who can help. Probably your best bet is Mark, who's been leading the service. If you are not happy talking to a man, Mark will be able to direct you to a lady, yeah, to talk with. If you are in a place where you feel in danger, please, please, please. Don't interpret this message to stay in danger. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Also, I don't believe Paul is supporting slavery in any sense. In fact, passages exactly like this laid the foundations that unpicked slavery. Happily, our society does not allow any forms of slavery. And I hope you're not in this case, if you are in a situation or know of one where that's the case, please also track down Mark or myself and I can point you to some help. Okay, just to say that from the beginning. So there's lots that can be misunderstood, but we stay with me, let's press through and we'll see some good stuff. So the question is, how do we then live in an authority relationship if I know that my worth isn't determined by my place in the tree, in the pecking order? So I have a person who I'm submitted to in some sense or other, but there's no sense in that relationship that says that person is more worthy or more valued than I am. So normally our abuse subjugation relationships, we kind of have rationalized that to ourselves through history in saying that, well, actually the reason we can subjugate that race or that sex or people who behave like that or that religion is because they're less than us. Yeah? Living as a white male from an English-speaking background in this 150 years or so, that is the group that happens to be in the ascendancy. And I can say that my ancestors very happily asserted that certain groups of people, and in fact women, were less valuable and they couldn't kind of do valuable stuff, and so therefore you could justify all kinds of abusive behavior. Paul begins by saying that isn't true. It's just simply not true. There is no difference in value between one who is in authority and one who is in a submitted position in a relationship. So then how do we live those relationships? So there's a lie that Satan sells us, which is that if you are submitting or you're obeying in a relationship, you are the lesser. You are less valuable. and that you must be subjugated, because if you weren't being subjugated, you wouldn't be doing what this person asked you to do. It's like unthinkable that we could willingly choose a position where we remain in a submitted relationship. Okay, that's and honestly, for many of you, when you read this passage, you just think, ah, nonsense. Stay with me, please. Because I think there's something wonderful to see, and by God's help, we'll see it. So the key here is in verse 17, which is not even in the passage I was given. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the bit. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Ruth picked this up last week. This is Trinity packed into this verse. The Spirit's kind of in there somewhere, but there's the Son and there's the Father. Now, the Son and the Father have an authority submitted relationship. It is an authority relationship. And we know from the Scriptures that that doesn't mean that the Son is less than the Father. That's a certainty in the Scripture. We know that an authority relationship doesn't arise from sin. Yeah, so this is not something that God put in place because we messed up in the garden. This is something that has been in place for all of eternity, because for all of eternity, the Son and the Spirit have submitted to the authority of the Father. And that has been the joy of their eternal relationship, as they have lived as a unity in submission one to another throughout all of eternity. So it's not tied to anyone's inherent value. It's not arising out of sin. And also, I can guarantee, brothers and sisters, we are going to be living in authority relationships for all eternity. Okay, once you die, you will still find yourself in authority relationships of some form or other. But they won't have this abuse, subjugation nonsense that sinful humanity have injected into those relationships. So Paul turns to three central authority relationships in the society at a time. I have a table. Last time I had a graph, a chart, right? This time I have a table, and some people will be delighted by that. The people up the back should be more delighted because of Derek, who reformatted it so you can actually read it. So here we have, there are three sets of relationships: wives and husbands, children and fathers, slaves and masters. Interestingly, the word there is the word kurios or kurios, which is the same as the word kurios, which is lord. It's, so lords on the earth with slaves. And each of these groups receive a single sentence instruction, except for the slaves. Now, there's lots of ways to translate the word slave. I'm just going to use slave. You can read your Bibles or commentaries or things to figure out what particular kind of slavery Paul might have been referring to. But the slaves receive four full verses in this context. Now, some of us, we might look at it and think, great, because we don't have slaves, we're not slaves, forget it. This is not really a passage that we need to deal with. But think about what's happening here. In this context, the slaves are the ones who have the least choice. It's a community in the church in Colossae that Paul feels, I must get through to these guys. They've come into the church. There are some of their masters possibly in the same congregation. They've now come to understand that they're equal with their masters in terms of their worth. And the masters are understanding that. And everything's a bit uncomfortable because, hey, on Monday we go to work. Or in fact, even today if you're a slave. So how does this work? And Paul feels that he needs to pass some things to these brothers and sisters to help them in their situation. So they are the most extreme of the groups that he's addressing here. So first of all, let's have a look at wives and husbands. So the wives are asked to submit to their husbands, and there's a reason for that, because it is fitting in the Lord. Now, this is a command that is addressed exclusively to wives. Just to say that at the beginning. So if you are male, this doesn't apply to you. You don't need to really pay much attention to it, because yours comes next. Husbands, love, and I've done my own kind of translation. The word that's used there is a word, don't embitter your wives. Don't behave in a way that provokes a bitterness in them by your behavior. And I can promise you, brothers who are husbands, if at any point in your marriage, and I don't say this to make fun of anyone, but if at any point in your marriage you have told your wife that you must submit to me, I humbly and strongly encourage you to repent today. I really do. I'm not trying to make a joke of it. It was a mistake. That is not for you to say. God is saying it to your wife. It's up to her how she deals with that. It is not for you to say. You are to not embitter your wife. And I promise you, if you've been telling her she has to submit to you, that's probably what she's been experiencing. There are loads of fantastic women and wives in this church who may have been able to overcome that constant assault of nonsense if it's been in your marriage. So please, I might have made a whole lot of enemies here. I don't know. That's how life goes sometimes, isn't it? But I just appeal to you. There is a call, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about where this comes from in a minute, okay? So just hold the words. There's lots of interesting stuff we could get into in the words here, but we don't quite have time today, so. Children and parents. So children are to obey in everything their parents. I think this is talking to children who are below the age of adulthood, whatever that is, in whatever society. So there's a point where you stop being called upon to obey your parents, and then you enter a different sort of relationship which still honours your parents. But as a child, you're called to obey in everything. Again, children, this doesn't count if you are living in a place where you are in danger. Yeah? Come and find someone, get out of that situation, or if you know someone who is. But the reason is, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And fathers are told, don't provoke your children so they don't lose heart. It's a beautiful word. So it doesn't sort of suck their soul out by you provoking them and making their lives miserable. Then we have slaves and masters. I've just done one of the slaves and masters. We'll talk more about this in a minute. Slaves are called to obey in everything your lords. And one of the reasons given is that you are to be fearing the Lord. It's a manner in which you are to obey your masters. The lords or masters, interestingly, are called on to offer justice. And the word's a really interesting word. It's where we get words like isometric or isobars. It's got the iso at the beginning of it. And it has this sense of equity or equality in it, which must have been quite uncomfortable for a master in the church listening and thinking, equality with my slave. This is going to be tricky. And I don't think you can sustain that for very long. So really, after a while, I think we find that people reading these scriptures think, I can no longer have a slave. How can I subjugate this person who is equal to me? So in this way, Paul very quietly began to undo slavery. And it took generations for it to happen. And they are to do that, the masters, because they themselves must know that they have a master in heaven, a Lord in heaven. So treat your slave as you expect Christ to treat you. Right. So let's move on. There's something to pick out from this. And this is very key. In every one of these relationships, apart from husbands, who are given no reason at all, just get on with it. Yeah. Rightly so. But Paul deals with husbands in other letters. Yeah. And deals with them extensively and well. So please trace that down if you need to. And fathers aren't really, they're not given a reason in the Lord. They're just of, fathers, don't mess your kids up. Don't rip their hearts out. Everybody else, Paul appeals to their relationship with God, with the Lord. Why, as a wife, would you choose to follow a path that says, I will submit to my husband when he is what he is? Well, you could do it because it's fitting in the Lord. Not primarily for the sake of your husband, because for the Lord. Children, why would you obey your unreasonable parents? Why would you do that? I mean, for teenagers, they just think that's nonsense. But why would you? Because it pleases the Lord. Forget about pleasing your parents. That's not the goal. That's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because your heart is filled with Christ. And you think, now Jesus, here I find myself in this authority relationship with people with equal value to me. What do? I'm a child, they're a parent. I'm going to obey them. And that delights you. And that delights me, that it delights you. So that's what I'll do. It's not for them. It's for you, Lord. Why would a slave obey a master? This is an unrighteous relationship. There is no way I should be subjugated like this. How could the world be this way? And yet Paul says, do you know what, guys? Obey them in everything, fearing the Lord. And he unpacks that even further by saying, don't do it with eye service, not man-pleasing, sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Work to the Lord, this key, work to the Lord and not to man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as a reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. How amazing. In your authority relationship, your act of submission, your act of obedience, you are serving the Lord Christ. So a slave who thinks, I can't do anything for the kingdom of God, I'm just working for this loser all the time. No, no, you're serving the Lord Christ. Remember Jesus when he's in front of Pilate, he says to Pilate, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from heaven. So I'm not fussed by you because I'm serving my Father. You do what you like. You've got authority from heaven, fine. I'm serving my Father, and I'll serve him by submitting to your authority. Amazing. So there's a shift of thinking here, and it's really profound, but it's really easily missed. In our authority relationships, it's normal for us to assert our rights and to try and score points off each other and have these passive-aggressive stances where we can sort of obey but do it in a way that sucks all the joy out of it, all that kind of stuff that we do. But in Christ, the whole perspective changes. In Christ, he becomes the reference point for all of our relationships. And so the question isn't who's up and who's down, it's what honours the Lord, what delights his heart. So we understand that we understand the place of joy and the place of satisfaction for us in our relationships is in submitting, in obeying, and in working to the Lord. That's my phone telling me my time's up. Last sentence. Two sentences. This is not usurping anyone's authority, but understanding that all authority is God's authority. So our yielding to authority and authority relationships is yielding to him. And we must consciously do that. Otherwise, we will find ourselves subjugated and miserable. So we're no longer concerning ourselves with shoring up our authority, making sure people are submitting to us, or fighting for our rights, or our needs or our desires, or how am I going to get what I need out of this relationship, or trying to turn the tables so that we get to be the boss and they can be the... No. We find ourselves a place of peace and rest in submitting to the Lord and in finding that he is the one who looks out for us. Can I pray? I don't know if there was any more slides. No. God, help us with this change of thinking, to find joy in our authority relationships rather than some sense of constantly being pushed down. Lord, lift us up. Let us take delight in lifting up those whom we submit and obey to, Lord, and who we work for. God, let us find great delight in the security that you have caused us to be of equal value to anyone in the world. And so we have such great power to submit or to love or to not provoke or to work for because of this power, this security you give us that we are yours, we are in your hands, our future is certain. And in our hidden life, we can safely submit and obey. Amen.
I invite you to hold, to remember, amongst other things, perhaps this verse you heard Daryl say earlier. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Lord, may your word to us through Daryl, what you have shown us through Scripture, may what is all good and true enrich our hearts, help us to see more clearly what we've heard through Daryl, and to live more fully faithfully, lovingly, gracefully for you. Amen. So we turn to our closing worship, and if you're able to stand, please do so as we turn to worship and sing The Power of Your Love. Got an amazing group of musicians here, singers, just so enjoy them every time, and I hope you do too. Thank you so much to you all. Of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. Above all, may the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with every one of you, with all those you love, this day and always. Amen. Amen. A couple of things to say before our final song. And that is this. First of all, I just want to say that if there are any who are here that just need to know that there are people who are willing to just come alongside them because of the difficulties they're in, thinking especially of an abusive relationship or whatever it might be, I'd be very glad, especially if it's men, to meet with me. If it's women, if you're okay with me, but maybe I'm just looking for somebody like Heather, is that all right? Thank you. That we can just listen to you and offer prayer for you and maybe offer some help if that's appropriate. I believe there's a group willing to pray after service, is that right? Not sure, is that at the front or back? Thank you. So Heather and I will also be at the front. So there's an offer for prayer, and if you particularly want to talk with Heather or myself about issues relating to abuse in the past, then we're just glad to listen and to just allow the Lord to speak through it. The refreshments after the service, of course. We hope that you can stay and enjoy that. If you have to go, please do. We love to just know that the Lord goes with you. But we now just turn into a lovely final song. It's known as the UK Blessing. It's a great blessing and a wonderful thing to be part of. Enjoy it. Leave if you have to. God bless you.